Hello, everyone, and welcome to our special, somewhat. Did we ever post the last podcast?
Yeah,
Oh,
it's
okay, yay!
available.
Our special post shareholder meeting edition, which will hopefully be put out before the latest shareholder meeting,
It'll
or
be
unlike many
out
of our other.
Friday evening or Saturday morning.
Or,
But if you're
because,
listening to this, you already know that.
like, we've had. And it's not one of our many lost episodes where something went wrong. So today is a very special day because obviously we want to do this right after the shareholder meeting, so availability came into play. So today you got me, you have Kyle Burbank,
Hello.
and making his podcast debut, we have Mike Mack, also known as Mac, to help distinguish him from the other Mike that works at Laughing Place. Say hello,
Hey,
Mac.
everyone.
So we're gonna just sort of run through the shareholder meeting that happened today. I think I was a little surprised. I don't know about you, Kyle, as another follower of such things. I kind of expected with the investor day coming up that like there wouldn't be a lot of news because they kind of want to save themselves for that, which it's just a little over a month away on April 11th. But there actually was a fairly decent amount of news, or at least clips. Well, and then the big news. So that catch you a little off guard?
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of expecting, like you're kind of alluding to, the big news about the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening dates. I think we had an inkling that that would happen, and then rumors started to build as it got closer. But as far as the other things, not only did I not really expect them, but it doesn't seem like because of all this Star Wars deluge, it seems like it kind of got lost in the mix. So Mac actually wrote a great piece kind of detailing some of these lesser known but still notable stories that came out of it and kind of getting the quotes from Iger, and I thought that came out really well.
So, just to give a little piece of background, so the shareholder meeting is something that happens every year where shareholders, i.e., the owners of the Walt Disney Company, gather and vote on things. So, there's a business portion of the meeting, and then historically, management will present sort of an update on what's happening at the company. The meeting has taken various forms over the years. I've been to meetings that have lasted an hour, and I've been to meetings that lasted all day. But Bob has kind of settled into this pattern of he comes out, talks, they conduct, Alan Braverman, the chief counsel for the company, basically the head lawyer, conducts the business portion, which is not as been contentious as it's been in the past.
You get the same two shareholder proposals every single time.
It's different than the Evelyn Davis days, if you don't know what those were, Google them. And then he goes and shows, talks a little bit about the parks. Usually shows a montage of sports from ESPN that are heavily featured in St. Louis or the city that the shareholder meeting's happening at. And then, maybe talks about, goes through the release schedule, but shows like maybe three clips of things, some of which haven't been seen by the public. This year was really different. So, well, not really different, but different. The meeting is held in St. Louis in a beautiful theater for what it's worth. They had stormtroopers, Mickey and Captain Marvel meeting guests. Before the show, they actually had like a opening act of Di Cappella, which happened to be in the neighborhood on their tour. So they performed a couple songs, a Part of Your World mashup with Whole New World, the it has a name, but that incredible song, bam, 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 bam. And I Want to Be Like You, Hoo Hoo. As well as one other one that I'm forgetting, but say that be.
Was it Immortals?
No. It was something sort of golden age, 80s, 90s era, which was on theme for the day, I guess. So then they do the sizzle reel. So the sizzle reel is usually something like Disney opening the hearts of your imagination, or, something like it's like super like intense Disney propaganda, which I eat up every time. And then towards the middle, they just show like extended clips of movies that are coming out in the next couple of months, which is kind of cool. Then Bob comes out, says, "Hey, we make a lot of money. Stock's doing well. Yay." Alan Braverman comes out, does the quote, boring part, which this year was pretty boring. The sort of big thing was is shareholders get to kind of do an advisory vote on executive compensation, and last year that didn't pass, which is part of the reason you saw Bob's pay sort of get cut. And I wonder if his recent pay cut that was announced last week or earlier this week was sort of a way to get that resolution to not be negative.
I have a quick question for you about the boring part. Were the two nuns that spoke actually like in habits?
No,
Oh, okay.
they were in normal like Golden Girls clothes, like normal old people clothes.
I was kind of wondering that too.
I'm glad. Yeah, I wondered.
Yeah, it's well, I don't really know why, I mean they're I don't know. I don't understand. Like, is it like a service that they provide for shareholder meetings in St. Louis that they'll go speak on proposals? So then Bob came back out and, they started with the typical ESPN montage. He calls out, talks about Marceline and, which is closer to Kansas City, but whatever. So he goes through and talks, he didn't really t so now that there's no more consumer products division, like he didn't feel like he has to do that sort of nod to it. Didn't mention TV at all. But talked about the stuff coming to the parks. Highlighted by he went through the things that have been announced that maybe Joe Public doesn't know, but we know, like Zootopia coming to Shanghai Disneyland, the Marvel properties across the way. Didn't mention Runaway Railway, which one guest I talked to found peculiar. I guess not guest, shareholder.
I did that the entire live blog, by the way. Every time I wanted to say, a guest is asking a question, I had to be like, no, shareholder is asking a question.
Yeah, and so he did talk about the opening date of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge being sooner than they expected because demand is so high, but that it's going to open in phases. So basically, the land and the Millennium Falcon attraction, which I believe what's it called, Smuggler's Run or something like that, is opening first, and then the new attraction, the sort of e-ticket attraction, the Rise of the Resistance, will open at a later date. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that there's some issue with Rise of the Resistance, which made them gonna miss their original opening date, which was supposed to be, summer and late fall, for Disneyland and Disney World respectively. So they are opening earlier than anticipated. So Disneyland will open May 31st. And Disney World's will open August 29th. Now, Disneyland's in a funny little boat here or situation because it's opening earlier than the blockout dates for the passes. So because they didn't anticipate it would open this early, so if you're coming in the first couple weeks, you're gonna have to make like a no-cost reservation to enter the land. Supposedly that's not gonna be necessary at Walt Disney World, but and they will not initially offer FastPass, including MaxPass and FastPass Plus, to the Millennium Falcon attraction. I don't know if they're waiting for the other attraction to open to kind of balance it out and help offset demand for the FastPass before making you pick one or the other, or what's going to happen there. So I was actually at the meeting. I wasn't able to really dig into the story, so can well, Mac, can you give us a little sort of like, I don't know, what's the story here?
Well, I mean, it's definitely interesting that they decided to announce that they're opening in phases. It makes me wonder how far off they are with Rise of the Resistance, because obviously, if they are going to open ahead of their window for the other attraction and the rest of the land, that obviously makes you think that Rise of the Resistance, at least in Disneyland, is not going to be ready in summer, and then Disney World wouldn't be ready in the fall. So how far off are we thinking for that?
If I'm not mistaken, they did say it will open later in the year, so that essentially gets until December 31st. But, you know, so if the initial rumor date for Galaxy's Edge in Florida was sometime in November, so it can't be much more delayed than, you know, that, because that wouldn't be this year. But Disneyland could be delayed till December 29th.
Right, and that's definitely interesting, because then you have, you know, about 6 months of the land being open without one of the major attractions.
And not to mention, I mean, People Eater, right? I mean, this is why they're going to have to do all this fancy, like, reservations and stuff, because let's say 20,000 people want to go to the land on any given day. If 5,000 people are in queue for the attraction, well, then you don't need to worry. They're someplace. But if there's only one attraction, the line for that's going to be nuts.
Right.
And they're all going to be clogging up the land.
Right. Yeah. Well, we know it's definitely going to be crowded. And speaking of those reservations, I do hope that we get something like that in Disney World, because I know it's just going to be crazy trying to get in there.
So he did show some footage that was, I think, was all sort of stuff we've seen before, but this is a big deal. Bob did say that when they first met with the Imagineers, that the guidance he gave them was to be ambitious. So, you know, I think we all know this is sort of a big scale project. Obviously, things come down from the height of their blue sky vision to something a little bit more realistic. But I don't know. This is probably the biggest parks project outside of a park opening that we've seen in our lifetime.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I can't think of anything else.
How do we feel about this piecemeal thing? Like, I mean, not necessarily from a land being crowded part, but like, are we glad they're doing it this way, or would we prefer that they waited until the whole land was open and just, even if it meant being delayed?
I mean, I if it was going to be a short delay for Rise of the Resistance, then I would say maybe wait for it. But if it's going to be a lengthy delay, then I prefer that they do it this way.
Yeah, I think I agree, and it kind of works that way, because then you have the people that are really going to have to make a decision whether they want to be there on regular opening day or the phase two opening day. I don't know how much that will help, but I don't know. I think it was probably they were screwed either way. So I don't know which one. I don't have the inside knowledge to know for sure what they should have done, but it seems like this plan makes sense. And at least they're not, I think it would have been worse if they waited until June, you know, maybe halfway through June, and then we're like, oh, hey, by the way, they're giving you a heads up,
right,
and they're opening it. They're like, we're going to open it a bit early because that'll be ready. I don't know. I kind of appreciate that they're showing their cards.
So now, Bob didn't talk a lot about Disney Plus, but because he kind of passed it off to this Investor Day, which is coming up, which obviously will have full analysis and coverage on Laughing Plays and all that. But he did say that the entire Disney Motion Picture library will be on Disney Plus fairly soon after launch. Which, I mean, the obvious elephant in the room is, are they going to put Song of the South on it? Which has been sort of
And I have to
forgotten.
Imagine that there's other ones too. Like, obviously, when he says Disney, he means Disney branded and presumably Pixar and stuff, and not anything Touchstone and Buena Vista. But there has to be something that just wouldn't be available. There has to be some sort of like legal hang up with something besides Song of the South. So I don't think he really means everything. And I think we'll hear that get walked back on the 11th, if not before. But I definitely thought that was interesting. I mean, definitely committing to a level of back library there.
Now, being in the room, I was actually struck by how Bob seemed to be pleased about the number of people interested in Disney Plus. There were a lot of questions about it, and he didn't really talk about it all that much in his opening remarks, but people had lots of questions about what's going to be on there, what are they going to do to compete with Netflix, and I think he just sees it as a good sign. And JP Morgan this week, I saw something come across the news desk that they think it's going to do big business across the world. So.
Yeah, I did think that was kind of funny because they're projecting global numbers when they haven't confirmed that it's going international markets yet.
I read, I mean, this is completely wild rumor. Like, I read someplace that they were thinking of testing it in the Netherlands or something as sort of like a test market just to kind of see if it works before it crashes when it launches the United States. But I mean, that is completely like, I happen to see it on the internet, it must be true kind of thing. But.
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt that they'll roll it out to other countries. It's just that they haven't announced a strategy for that. So I think it's kind of interesting that they can project global numbers when you don't even know what markets it's going into.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, but I don't think there's any secret that Disney wants this to be a global service. I mean, I'm sure there's some markets where that's technically difficult, but I mean, there's no. It's not like, Hulu, which has issues because of rights. I mean, they own the product. So, the other news on the park side was. A second Disney Cruise Line Island, which kind of got mentioned nonchalantly, obviously because of like public hearings and sort of documentation required to buy islands. It was known that Disney was working on this, but they sort of, this is the first time they sort of confirmed in a public marketing kind of setting that they've purchased the 700-acre Lighthouse Point, and that will become a companion island in the Bahamas for Castaway Key. Presumably because the three new cruise ships will need more places to go.
And that one was so low key that neither Mac nor I heard that. We had to go back
Yeah, I didn't
and.
notice it.
One more thing on the parks, and this actually came from the Q&A. Every once in a while, Bob kind of shows his cards a little sooner than he probably means to. But there's a random question about Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom. And Bob said, and I quote, "We've been working with the Imagineers to consider a number of different concepts for Tomorrowland. They've got some great plans that we recently reviewed, but nothing that we're ready to announce at this point. But expect that in the years ahead, there will be a lot of Tomorrowland activity. A lot of Tomorrowland activity tomorrow." He said it sort of a jokingly way, but he seemed very pleased with himself. So we know the Tron coaster's coming to, Walt Disney World. He didn't seem to think that this was like a one park project. Like, I think he kind of implied it was going to be a Disneyland and Disney World. They're both looking at Tomorrowland. But I remember a couple years ago, Bob Iger talked about how they're, basically said the exact same words about Epcot, and now Epcot has this big transformation plan ahead of it. So, I don't know. What do you guys, Mac? What do you think of Tomorrowland?
I thought that was definitely interesting. That it really caught me off guard, especially since he's talking about changes coming to Tomorrowland, and the question was asked about Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World, and he didn't bring up the Tron coaster. So obviously he was referring to other plans. All I know is if any changes are coming, they better not touch my People Mover.
Or my Carousel of Progress.
Speaking in 90s.
Yes, today is 90s day when we're recording this because they're first of all having Disneyland After Dark 90s night, and Captain Marvel comes out, which is set in the 90s, and it's Throwback Thursday, so.
It's like a convolution of nanny 90s. Alex, who is on the podcast a lot most of the time, his like band name, like if he ever like started his own band, would be called Fanny Pack Revival.
That's a good one. I like it.
Some other news. I don't know if this is news, but it might be news to some. Is that they are keeping the 20th Century Fox name. So particularly, he said Fox Searchlight, and on the movie side, FX will also be keeping its name. I guess they had some sort of question about with Fox, New Fox, or whatever you want to call it, obviously retaining the Fox Chan Network and the Fox Business Channel, Fox News, Fox Sports. Would Disney still use the Fox name? And they will. And the way the question was actually like asked in a way that really went into Fox history. We think of Disney as a having this long history and heritage, but I think sometimes we forget, you know, Daryl Zanuck merging Fox and 20th Century. Alex has started a good series called Getting to Know You, which kind of highlights the history of Fox, and as people begin to welcome it to the Disney fold. So the woman who asked the question seemed particularly surprised that FX was keeping its name. And as Bob, I'm paraphrasing Bob, Bob's like, it doesn't say Fox, but it kind of sounds like it.
Yeah. No, I was also, I didn't know if that had been previously confirmed. So I was definitely interested to hear that. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think maybe we were kind of assuming that something like that would happen. But like you said, now we know for sure. Until they change their mind somewhere down the road.
So Bob usually shows a couple of clips of films and kind of through Toy Story 4 and just sort of showed one after another. So he showed at first, you know, I don't know what you call it, extended scene, clip reel from Captain Marvel, which because it's coming out in literally like hours after this meeting, you know, I mean, it's nice, but it's not like. Then he showed a new bit from, at least new to me, from Dumbo, which really played up the sort of Danny DeVito character, this, I don't know if you call it theme park kind of part of the movie. And I believe they actually released something in the public regarding this kind of stuff while this was happening. Then, what's after? Okay, Endgame. We see a scene from Endgame, which is
Potential spoilers.
potential spoilers, but I'm not sure to what would be the spoiler?
It's obvious spoilers, like it's stuff we know that it's coming, but it's still, you know,
Yeah,
still
I
technically a
guess if
spoiler.
you are surprised that the Avengers go on a mission and Captain Marvel's involved, then yes, it's a spoiler. But I feel like the marketing will make that. Like this, what we saw was definitely felt like the first 10 minutes of the movie. If you don't want to hear it, stop listening. But if you don't mind, it is the sort of gang, the Remnant gang, which included Steve Rogers,
Natasha.
Natasha Romanoff, Black Widow, Rhodey, Thor,
Banner.
Rocket. I'm sorry.
Banner.
Banner. Oh yeah, I forgot about Banner. And if I didn't say Rocket already, Rocket, kind of sitting around, licking their wounds. And Captain Marvel is there, kind of acting very, you know, tough and confident, like I think is sort of her MO. But basically saying they're going to go get the Infinity Gauntlet and reverse it. And I mean, so. Probably not something no one else had thought of, but that's what they want to do. But they don't know where to find Thanos. Then it sort of cuts to Nebula, and it doesn't like it's hard to tell if like they knew she was there or not. But she says that when he was like doing the work on her, she would ask where would he go after, where would they go after he does completes his mission, and he says the garden, and. Rocket uses some like sort of space, you know, techno babble to determine it's this planet is where he's at. Thor somehow like walks up, stares down Captain Marvel, gives her his approval of her, and then they all end up in a spaceship. Rocket asks, "Hey, who's not been in space before?" And you know, Rhodey, Steve Rogers, all. Raise their hands, and he basically says, "Okay, don't throw up on my ship." And that was the scene. So
Well,
I don't know. I mean.
when you sent us a little synopsis of that, and Mac included it in his article, and I think he said I could write 500 words just on that.
Yeah, I didn't want to open up about it too much right now either, because I'd probably be talking about it for the next hour. But actually, the bigger spoiler I think there is Nebula being present as opposed to Captain Marvel, because obviously Infinity War ends with Nebula with Tony on Titan, and now we know. At least Nebula is going to be get back to the rest of the team that you would assume Tony's somewhere in the area.
Well, that was what's weird is like Tony was, noticeably absent from this whole conversation. He's like sort of the one obvious non, dust person that is, and I don't believe I saw, Scott Rudd's character,
Paul
Scott Lang,
Rudd?
Paul
Scott.
Rudd who plays
Yeah.
Scott Lang. I didn't see him either, even though they had that, seen in the trailer.
Right. Well,
So
my guess would be for Tony anyway, he's probably looking for Pepper, and I guess we don't know if she's been dusted, so.
yeah, so it was kind of cool to see like a legit scene from the movie. Although I suddenly realized that the movie's only 2 months away. I feel like Captain
Right.
Marvel's really taking our attention, and then as soon as we see Captain Marvel, we're gonna be like, oh yeah,
Right.
Avengers just around the corner.
I've been wondering when tickets were going to go on sale, and I'm like, well, maybe after Captain Marvel. But then after Captain Marvel, they have Dumbo. So do we have to wait till after Dumbo to get tickets?
I guess because like Dumbo feels late, like, and I think they intentionally waited till after Captain Marvel comes out. But I feel like, I mean, Dumbo is imminent. The premiere for Dumbo is actually, I think on it's either Monday or Tuesday. So,
Feels like this was weird placement for Dumbo to sandwich it in between these two huge movies.
well, I think they were just sort of going in order.
If we can also sidebar for a second, what's also weird placement is they just announced that Maleficent 2, which is now Maleficent Mistress of Evil, it was supposed to come out next May, and now it's moved up to October 18th of this year, which is almost the slot that Jungle Cruise left, but Jungle Cruise was supposed to come out on the 11th. And so it's definitely kind of weird because we've heard nothing about this movie for so long, and then they started giving us like, oh, hey, here's a picture. It started production. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, hey, here's a poster, and we're moving it up 6 months or more. It's just very strange.
Yeah, it was.
But I'm also wondering if Frozen 2 will also get a new title because for Maleficent, it went from Maleficent numeral 2 to Maleficent with Roman numeral 2 to getting a subtitle. So since they kind of pulled that move with Frozen as well, I'm wondering if that's like, it's another phase thing, kind of like the opening of Galaxy's Edge.
That's funny. So speaking about Maleficent, he did show sort of like not a Well, I guess includes clips, but basically it talks about how Maleficent is coming to, who is sort of now Aurora's mother, is coming to ha comes to odds with Prince Philip's mother, who kind of wants to control things and has a some sort of beef with Maleficent. So that seems to be what the story is, sort of mom versus stepmom, or Maleficent versus mother-in-law,
That
whatever
sounds awful.
you would call that relationship.
I
Yeah, so yeah,
didn't
I
like the
don't.
first one. I thought it was super boring, so I have zero interest in seeing this one.
I've actually never even seen the first one yet, so.
I didn't love the first one. I'm sure. I mean, obviously, I'll see this movie because that's what I do. But it definitely. I was really curious to see if they were going to sort of change the tone, because while it was successful in terms of box office, like I feel like there's sort of a sense it didn't really hit its mark the first time, but they really seem to be going after that same sort of look. But we'll see what happens.
It's funny that you describe it like that because the subtitle, Mistress of Evil, makes it sound like they're gonna make her more of just a straight villain instead of like a sympathetic, misunderstood, and that doesn't seem like that's what it's gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, and they do kind of tease that maybe this whole thing turns her evil, at least in perception, that like she just loses her cool, and because she doesn't trust anyone. But it's hard to tell. So we saw like a trailer for Aladdin, which featured a lot more genie than we're used to.
Oh no.
So first of all, it was probably like half and half CGI genie and flesh genie. So it appears, and I think this has been announced, that sort of like when Aladdin's in the quote real world, the genie looks like a person, kind of like how he did in the original movie. So people don't start asking questions. It's they it's the first time I've seen them sort of highlight the musical aspect of the movie. They showed sort of them singing A Whole New World, which is something new to me. And Will Smith's Genie was in it. I feel like it, I don't know if it just I've lowered my expectations so much, but I feel like when you see it sort of in an extended sort of shot, it looks a lot better than it did in that like 5 second reveal they did at the Grammys.
I did think it was funny this week. They also released, I guess Spirit Airlines has like a Dumbo plane, which feels like weird branding for me from Disney, like wanting to partner with Spirit, which is perhaps one of the most loathed airlines in the country. But I was like, oh, instead of Dumbo, they really should have been like a blue genie on it. That would make a lot more sense. That would be like self-deprecating.
That's funny. Yeah, I noticed that too, 'cause like I don't know why, but like themed airplanes, it seems like it's a big deal these days. And I've seen them do Southwest, I've seen them do Alaska. Spirit is like the first of the what I would call like the cheapo airlines. Like it's beyond no frills. It's like non-basic human.
It's like the Dick's Last Resort of airlines.
So he did show a scene from The Lion King, not done, and it's basically like their take on the everything the light touches scene, from the original Lion King, and the Morning Report sort of after that, with the pouncing. So it's not going to assuage anyone who's like, this is just a remake and they're not doing anything new, because it looked the same as, I mean, the story wise. But it is pretty cool to see the beauty that's in that movie, with the CGI lions. I was actually, the whole audience seemed sort of enthralled with it, and I, not in a way that seemed like they were just being nice.
I'd be excited to see that because I think that would have John Oliver in it then, right?
It did.
Yeah, I think I might be most excited about that. Like, it's just such perfect casting.
Yeah, it
There's a
did really.
lot of casting. I'm very excited for that movie.
So it's weird because it's James Earl Jones giving the Mufasa lines, but with different tone and different intonation than he did in the original. So it seems like it's like a bad James Earl Jones impersonator doing it, but it's actually James Earl Jones. It's just he's saying the line differently than he did, 1994. And then the last sort of the initial batch was Toy Story 4, which they showed, I won't say it scene, but it was like an extended trailer, where they basically show how Bonnie has created Forky. Forky has lots of questions about why he's alive. Forky wants to die. And he doesn't understand like what his purpose is and all this other stuff. You also see Bo Peep. They're not very, it wasn't very clear. At least they didn't pick up on it, like where Bo Peep is, but she's sort of like the tough version that's been hardened by a tough life since she was lost in Andy's room. There's also sort of like this creepy looking dolls and marionettes or dummies that seem to want to attack Toy Woody and his friends. Woody, Sporky flies away while Bonnie is in the car, and then Woody tries to go after her in a way that is very reminiscent of the first Toy Story film, but obviously different purposes and different character dynamics.
Can we talk a second about how you mentioned the hardened Bo Peep? Disney made this whole thing about how they're adding a Bo Peep topiary for Flower and Garden, which just started, and how it was going to be for Toy Story 4. But she's in her dress and her bonnet, and there's sheep, and she looks like the old version of her. And so I'm very confused.
That is interesting.
We had a whole
Because she
talk about it
definitely
because
has.
we do weekly news videos, and I said, oh, she's portrayed in her Toy Story 4 look, and then they're like, eh, she's kind of not.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think there's probably going to be more to the story. So they end up in this like carnival, sort of amusement park kind of thing. And so I'm guessing there's going to be more to the story about like what's happened to Bo Peep, how has she changed, how has Woody changed through the course of all this. But it does seem definitely like a Bo Peep Woody Sporky movie for
Even
those
though
that
if you
haven't
listen to like
linked
three
up.
episodes ago, you're like, I guess we're not doing that Bo Peep storyline.
Yeah. Well, you never know. So I believe that sort of brings us up through the summer, which was his initial speech. He did, as we talk about Maleficent, was it Mistress of Evil? And he sort of was proud that he was showing Frozen 2 on the big screen for the first time.
Which I
The
just saw
two.
that tonight, ahead of Captain Marvel, by the way.
Yeah, so first time as in like 20 minutes before it debuted,
Right,
but
yeah.
and then he showed I guess you call it like sort of a behind the scenes look at episode 9 with JJ talking about how it's going to be surprising and satisfying and to the Star Skywalker saga.
I was all ready for a title. I had the document open. We've had the document pre-written for like months.
Yeah, it's been ready.
Yes, if you ever accidentally see an article post that says Disney announces Star Wars dot dot insert title here, someone hit publish too soon.
One of the sites, I won't say which one, and it wasn't us, for real, it wasn't us, published something today with the opening dates for Star Wars where it was clear that they had written a dummy post and accidentally published it. It's a dead giveaway, and you click the link and it goes to a 404 page. You're like, okay, I know what you did.
We've all been there. Just make sure it's not an obituary. And people are so they intersperse obviously like stuff from previous of the last two Star Wars movies, and then some new stuff. It's hard for me to tell like in a 2 second slot shot what's new, but you do see Lando, and you do see Kylo's once again like oogling his grandfather's Darth Vader helmet. I bet you if I was like hardcore Star Wars fan, I could get something out of it, but I'm not, so I didn't.
We need the other mic for that.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's sort of 2019, and as they went through it, he did show a montage of like sort of like the Welcome to Fox montage, which is funny because like I'm pretty sure they thought that the Fox deal would be done by now, but it's
Stupid
not.
Brazil.
Yeah. So, and it featured things ranging from Mrs. Doubtfire to Alien to This Is Us, Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, Family Guy, the FX shows, Titanic. There was a lot of Titanic. Planet of the Apes,
What about Deadpool?
Die Hard, Deadpool was in it.
Okay.
I believe the X-Men were in it. Fantastic Four was in it. Sound of Music,
Which
if I didn't say
Fantastic
that already. I don't know. I mean, it was the Human Torch was flying by. I
Was it
haven't
Captain
seen.
America flying toward torch?
I haven't seen the new like the Josh Trank Fantastic Four, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Oh yeah, he was a thing.
Yeah, remember that?
Remember
So,
that Boba Fett movie?
so, so there was that. I mean, there was anything new, but it was just kind of cool to see what, we're getting. But he did talk about how James Cameron has shared with them some a new sneak peek at he didn't see the Avatar sequel. I think he said like what's coming next to the world of Avatar.
Yeah,
And
something like that.
so basically it was a montage of like concept art. You see Jake or whatever his Navi name is with like kids. So it seems like he started a family. They show a lot of new creatures and things like that. All to that song that they play on the Navi River journey. And then you hear him say, but a bright star can only mean one thing, the return of the sky people. And then you see like battle sequences, like concept art of battle sequences, and implying that basically the sequel is going to be, more of the same. But that doesn't seem very James Cameron-y, so I wonder what they're going to do. But there is definitely an action component to it. So, in a nutshell, that was the movie. Do you, I mean, the movie, the meeting. Do you guys have anything to say? Why don't we start, Kyle?
There was one other piece of news I thought was kind of interesting. Someone asked if there was going to be a memorial or a tribute to Dave Smith, who passed away recently. And at first, Iger was like, I didn't really know what she was talking about. And then she's like, or like a window. And he's like, oh, that's interesting. Like, he actually was like kind of taken aback. And then he's like, that's a really good idea. So maybe Dave Smith will be getting a window on Main Street.
Yeah, when she said the memorial, I kind of felt like he was about to say like, well, we're gonna do, having a private sort of thing, but like I think he was like concerned about like announcing that, and like he kind of was like when she mentioned the window, he's like, oh yeah, I can talk about that. Like he felt like that was his out versus of not having to deal with a fairly awkward conversation. And I actually have to say, I felt Bob, this was like the best performance he's done at an annual meeting. Like he sidestepped some things that, were particularly tricky or unfair, and yet, still was able to be affable and not get sort of bogged down. That he never gave off that vibe that he's like done with this. And
Well, Gideon
so I
wasn't
was
there to
actually really
foil him this
impressed.
time, though, so.
Yeah, well, I guess it's coming from the guy who never seemed like seemed to be such a terrible speaker back when he was president under Michael Eisner, it's nice to see him sort of become comfortable in his own skin. Mikey, anything?
Well, I can say I was listening to that stretch where they were going through all the movie clips as I was on my way home this morning. And it
As
was
most
very
people just listen in
interesting.
the car. Ooh,
Yeah,
shareholder meeting.
exactly. It was very interesting to listen to basically Disney hold music for about 40 minutes. So that was very exciting. No, but it was cool to get all this news when we really weren't expecting it.
Yeah, it was really, he really kind of put a lot more effort into it. I felt like last year, I mean, it might have just been because there was just a lot going on, sort of controversially, but and politically. But this year, he really sort of, they put a little bit more elbow grease into it. I mean, having Di Cappella as an opening act was a very nice touch. It definitely gave the, I don't know, like it was a show. Back in the old days, there used to be, They used to get like a string quartet or something to play in the lobby, which they haven't done for a long time. But, or even in the past, they would have like Radio Disney come with their van and like play music like as DJ. But obviously, that's not really a thing anymore. So I really felt like Di Cappella kind of got the meeting off on a right start. So I thought that was pretty cool. So do you. Let's go to both of you. Do you guys have like a top moment or top thing that was announced or top? I don't know.
Well, yeah, for me, I can say, I mean, aside from the obvious, Galaxy's Edge stuff, the Tomorrowland announced, well, the Tomorrowland hint, I guess, is what you'd call it, because it wasn't really an announcement, but that really caught me off guard, so I thought that was pretty cool.
I definitely agree with the Tomorrowland thing. I wasn't expecting him to, even though it wasn't like obviously not a definitive tease, it was more than I was expecting from him, and I think it's promising, and I do hope that it comes to both parks because I love Tomorrowland, I love the aesthetic, but there's no question that they need work.
Yeah, it's interesting because he could have easily just says like, "Oh, we have nothing to announce at this time," but well, it's looking at yet, But like, there's definitely an a of air of, "Oh yeah, we're working on stuff. We're just not ready to tell you what it is yet."
Yeah,
Like the new name for Hollywood Studios.
and when he first saw said it, I was expecting that nothing we can ex that kind of line. And then when I heard all of it, I was like, okay, that was a little bit more significant. But it wasn't until I went back and read the full quote that I was like, he really gave away a lot there.
Yeah, so I just want to go through the calendar of what's happening at Disney. I mean, on the business side. So as of right now, I believe the earliest date they expect to close the Fox acquisition is May. I'm sorry, March 14th. They basically keep extending it, based on when they think it'll be avail ready to close, but they're starting to get into, 1 and 2 days as opposed to like a week at a time. So I feel like we're getting close. I know they really want it done before April 11th, which is their investor day. But so, that will happen. April 11th is going to be huge because you're going to have Star Wars Celebration happening at the same time as this Investor Day. And there was a recent Investor Day at ESPN, and I'm not going to count that one because I was obviously very focused. But these Investor Days have historically been like big reveal days for lots of news across the company. So if you, I would really highly encourage you to check out Laughing Place on April 11th, because I feel like there's just going to, if you thought today was busy, April 11th, I just feel it's going to be nuts. So we have that, and then we head towards, the focus will be on Galaxy's Edge, which is really one of the biggest projects Disney's going to be launching this year outside of Disney Plus and the Fox integration. So it's going to be a busy couple months, and we look forward to sharing it all with you. But I don't know, you got anything to add, Kyle?
Not really. I would do want to give one shout out to something, a new feature that we have on the site we're calling LP Pro Tips. Basically we choose a different topic for each time. This week because we were tying everything into the 90s night, we did best places in Walt Disney World and Disneyland to relive the 90s. So then each one of our staff members gives a little suggestion and a paragraph about it. So we're going to be building a lot more of those. Some of them will be more fun. Other ones will be more straightforward and much more focused on actual trip planning. But yeah, I'm really excited about that. So be sure to check that out.
Cool. Mac, you got anything?
No, just that I'm excited for all those things you listed that are coming in the near future and the slate of movies as well. I'm very excited for everything, especially Avengers
Yes.
Endgame.
Ditto that.
And noticeably not on the slate is National Treasure 3, much to my shareholders' chagrin.
And Jerry Bruckheimer's apparently.
So we just wanted we just wanted to have a quick sort of update as to what was happening here. I mean, obviously we're still sort of wrapping our heads around what's going on at Galaxy's Edge.
We would talk more about Captain Marvel, but Fanboy still hasn't seen it, so
I haven't
next
all
time.
seen it. The D23 was showing the movie today, and I could have gone as a D23 member. However, I was distracted with other things, so I didn't want to see it. Well, I have one eye on something else. So I look forward to seeing it because I am headed, thanks to our friends at Mouse Fan Travel, on a Marvel Day at Sea Disney Magic 5-day cruise.
So you'll see it on the cruise, I
So,
assume.
yes. Which is also where I happened to watch Infinity War for the first time. And when I say watch, I mean struggle to fight to stay awake through it because it was like a midnight screening on embarkation day. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. I've heard nothing but great things from Jeremiah and other folks about Marvel Day at Sea. So I'm a huge Marvel fan. I mean, a huge Disney fan, but I also feel like Marvel does a great job of storytelling. So I'm a huge fan of that as well. So I look forward to getting all of that, plus having a wonderful cruise vacation kind of sandwiched all around that. So I'm
Right,
sure
no, that's just
we'll
a
be
little
talking
added
about this.
bonus.
Yeah, it's like you get a cruise too. Like I'm so focused on Marvel Day at Sea, I'm almost like, oh yeah, I get to like, go on a cruise. So yeah, so I don't plan yet on when we're recording next. We do look to have Dave Bossert on again, so pay attention for that. And we are also planning, God willing, as well as, how sort of the timing of everything works out. We do plan on doing a podcast right after the Investor Day concludes, as well as with the latest news from Star Wars Celebration. So definitely, we're going to be talking hardcore about Disney Plus, what it means as Disney fans, what answers do we get, and hopefully we will that'll start the sort of Disney Plus train heading into the end of the year when it becomes available. Because remember, Captain Marvel and every other movie that's released in 2019 will debut in terms of streaming on the Disney streaming service, Disney Plus, in addition to having the library, basically all of Disney's library of TV and movies also on there. So it's a big deal. It's a big initiative for the company. And if you're anywhere near Bob Iger, you will hear a lot more about it. So thanks for joining us, and hope to see you again real soon.